We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton. It's been a few weeks since we've had a chance to converse. And first of all, Fred, you are experiencing in D.C. what we've experienced around here, and you've experienced when you've come home to St. Joe's. More of the wintry weather. Are lawmakers in Washington getting sick and tired of it as we are over here?
Well, I sure think so. You know, the government was shut down again yesterday because of a pretty nasty snowfall, 5 to 7 inches, I think, in the area, and the temperatures, again, in single digits. Budgets, and this is something we all have concern about, budgets for the local communities, and whether it's in Allegan or Berrien or back in Virginia, in fact, those snow removal budgets have almost doubled in terms of expenses versus what had been budgeted for, and it's though D.C. isn't quite as bad as Atlanta experienced a few weeks ago. Yep, things shut down, lots of school days off, and make-up times, but a real threat to the economic vitality of those budget excesses because of snow removal that was certainly unexpected.
Fred, this might be more of a question for FEMA, but I'll throw it at you anyway because maybe you've heard some scuttlebutt on Capitol Hill. Has there been any talk at all about maybe some disaster relief funding for communities that have been hit by snow, especially those who aren't used to being hit by snow?
Well, you know, it's so broad. I looked at some of the numbers in the Washington area. It's literally double. But, you know, you look at all the communities here in southwest Michigan, too. I mean, you know, January, February, now into March, the interstates have been closed. County road commissions have in essence, told their folks to stay home because they're not going to risk the lives of their crews out on the roads at night when you got no visibility and that lake winds are coming off. I mean, it's a pretty huge problem and one that was unexpected, but I doubt that FEMA is going to be engaged in providing some relief because it is, let's face it, it is so widespread. It's not only just our corner of the state, it's the whole state, it's the whole region, it's the South, it's the East, it's the Midwest, and it's bitterly cold.
Yeah, it's definitely not, it's testing the hardiness of men and beast as we speak. Fred Upton, we're chatting with this morning, and we need to touch base on the situation involving the Ukraine, the Soviets. Might as well call them the Soviets. They're acting like Soviets again. much of concern, obviously, is foreign affairs. The White House has got its attention on that for the most part, but are we seeing, shall we say, haunting memories of Cold War Russia now, or is it just simply some new shenanigans from Putin and his gang?
Well, what the Russians are doing is very, very troubling, and it appears that overnight now they've upped the ante. They're increasing the price of natural gas, a real economic threat to the folks of the Ukraine. Poland, who relies on this as well, very concerned that it may happen there, and it seems to be escalating rather than de-escalating, which is very, very troubling. It's critical, and now you're beginning to, there's some talk now that we'll see some type of legislative action, perhaps as early as next week in the House, trying to strengthen the president's ability to deal with this situation. But I gotta say, It's more than just us. It has to be a united front with Europe. Germany has to be involved, and I know that Merkel has been engaged in talking to Putin. But it has to be a solid response, not just scattered between a variety of different nations, to try and get Putin to withdraw and to really allow the folks in Ukraine to determine where they want to go. This is a huge issue, certainly, that threatens pretty much all of Europe.
Not just this particular situation, but it could also spread fears that maybe the Cold War is starting to heat up again.
Well, just in the last 24 hours, it's my understanding that Russia has lost on the currency and stock exchange $60 billion. That's more than what they spent on the Olympics. It's a pretty big economic threat and an impact here. Gas prices, the world price of oil is climbing. It's now over $111 a barrel. Who knows where it's going to go? And certainly with the kind of winter that we've had, we saw it with propane. Natural gas has gone up, but the last thing that we need is the price at the pump to go up as well. It certainly hurts the most vulnerable in our society.
Now we're talking with Fred Upton, who is also the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and dealing with energy deals with the Keystone XL pipeline. There is some talk that a state or two might not be in it and all that. We've gotten protesters getting jailed because they've basically put cable ties to the White House gate, employing the president to veto this pipeline. We might be coming down to a decision time on what has been something that's been long delayed.
Well, it's been 5 years since the original request went in. Study after study after study shows the merits of this, not only as a job creator, but as one that can wean us off importing oil from countries that aren't so friendly, whether they be Venezuela, where we've seen tremendous unrest just in the last week or two, whether it's the Saudis, not exactly viewed as our best friends, whole host of reasons to enlist the aid of our best friends to the north, and that's the Canadians. They want to do this. They're at the end of their rope. They're about ready to say, forget it. We'll do it. We're going to produce it. But it's going to be going to China. It's going to be going to India. It's going to be going to someplace other than here. We've spent billions already expanding our refineries, getting ready for this. And, you know, the president okayed the pipeline from Oklahoma to the south. But until the pipeline is okayed to cross the border, it's not going to be any good. And the argument that we don't use oil sands, heck, already today we get 1.5 million barrels from Canada. A lot of it comes right here to Michigan. It's refined over at the Marathon Refinery over in Detroit and piped across the state. So, you know, all the arguments really are in support of this. And it's been 5 years of twiddling our thumbs. 5 years, we could have that running by now and really having a much more positive economic impact here versus having nothing going on.
And these rail situations and the danger of hauling gas by rail just makes it even more imperative with this line.
Well, you know, if the argument is a carbon footprint, certainly rail or truck, and it's going by truck too, is a lot more carbon intensive than it is in a pipeline. Pipelines are the safest. We've John Dingell, now retiring from the Congress at the end of the year, he and I teamed up together on a bipartisan, massive bipartisan bill to upgrade any new standard or any new pipeline for oil and gas. The president signed it into law now a year or two ago. That's in place. It's safest by pipeline. Why do we want to send it by truck or by rail?
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton of St. Joseph, whose district includes Allegan County, and he, along with other members of Congress, will be awaiting the proposed fiscal 2015 spending plan that will be coming from the White House today. And while the document, as we converse, Fred, has not been publicly disclosed, there has been some leaks about what might be involved. There are the pundits who are saying that's going to be dismissed out of hand by the GOP, but I would think that you and other members of the House majority would like to at least see an open mind on this thing and see exactly where the president's playing his cards and work accordingly.
Well, I'm anxious to see it when I get to the office Tuesday morning, that's for sure. You know, I remember I used to work for President Reagan a long time ago in the budget office, so it's a special day. This budget is coming up a lot later than when we sent it up. We used to send it up the first week of January, so here it is 2 months later come March. But really, most of the budget decisions now for fiscal year 15 were made in December. That's when the Congress, on a bipartisan, overwhelming vote, supported for the first time a two-year budget agreement that really takes out the possibility, I think, of any type of shutdown. That was very good news. I expect that the president's budget is going to conform to the numbers that December agreement adhered to. we're anxious to see where he thinks there ought to be pluses or minuses. We need to, the Senate, though, as you suggested, has already said because of that two-year budget, they've already indicated that they're not going to move a budget at all through the Senate. It's somewhat unclear what the House will do, but the bottom line is that the bottom line number is now agreed to, and we've got to work to make sure that that sticks in place and we don't add more uncertainty to the budget process.
And one final thing, Fred Upton, again, we go to your expertise as chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Palisades Nuclear Power Plant in Covert, they found a piece of metal from a blade stuck in one of the key components. Right now, Energy says they can't get it out, but it's not causing any harm. But you can bet there are those people such as those groups such as Beyond Nuclear will just pounce on this fresh piece of information as more fodder for closing that plant. And, of course, your committee is one that needs to oversee what the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been doing on a regular basis in terms of keeping that and all other plants across the country operating safely.
Well, we've made it known in every appearance that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC, has the absolute ability and right to make sure that every one of our facilities nationwide, nearly 100, are operated on a safe basis 24/7. And as you know, the Palisades plant, it was shut down for routine maintenance, scheduled maintenance, I should say, back in January. It's not going to reopen until the NRC gives the green light on every phase of that operation. This was somewhat of a little bit of a surprise, I guess you could say. I'm told that there are a couple of other facilities that have a similar situation. But the bottom line is there's no political interference here. It is the NRC's sole responsibility to make sure that if and when it does reopen, in fact, it is absolutely safe for all of us to know.
Yes, indeed. It's just as you say, it's not a political decision. Really, it isn't. But, anything that happens over there, even adversely, is going to be pounced on by opponents of nuclear power. And unfortunately, I think it just comes with the territory.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've instructed my staff, I have some very good nuclear knowledgeable folks on our committee staff. We work day-to-day, hand-in-hand with the NRC to make sure that, in fact, there's no shortcuts that are being taken. Cannot happen.
Fred Upton, the congressman from St. Joseph, joins us every Tuesday to talk about issues going on in Washington. Wish you and your family well as we move through the week, and I look forward to chatting with you again next Tuesday.
You bet.